All right, 1 John 4:17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That is a powerful scripture in and of itself. And I want to stop there for a second because you see this connection. It says, love has been perfected among us in this way that what? We may have boldness. Boldness. So boldness is connected with love. Boldness is connected with love. And so whenever we understand the perfect love of God, then there's a boldness that comes along with it, because there's no doubt when you understand the love of his great power, or the love of him, of his name and of his goodness, of his mercy, everything that he has for you. When you understand what he's done for you, when you know the love of God, then it wipes away every fear. And there's a boldness that we can have when we come into the knowledge of his love. And if you move on to verse 18, it says there is no fear in love. So in love, there's no fear. No fear. It's absent. In love, there is no fear. It's demolished. It's done. It's kicked out. In fact, that's what it says. But perfect love casts out fear. It drives out fear. So when we understand the love of God, it kicks out or drives out fear. It's like I kind of get this image of someone with a whip that's driving out, like driving animals. And it's like they're causing them to be pushed forward. They're causing them to move in a different direction, moving them out of one place and moving them into another. And it's like they're being cast out. They're being driven out. That's what love does to fear. It drives out fear. Love drives out fear out of our lives. So when we understand love, we could spend from now until eternity trying to grasp the concept of God's great love. We could spend from the rest of our lives studying and understanding and growing in the revelation of his love. And that would benefit us, because as we do that, then there's not going to be fear. And we would walk in a perfected love. And we would walk in an understanding and a revelation of his love. And where there's love, then there's boldness. It says, perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And I talked a little bit about that last week. Fear involves torment. It involves the idea that something is going to be cut off. Something is going to be restricted. That we're not going to be able to flow in a liberty, that we're cut off from something, cut off from provision, cut off from approval, cut off from an expectation. So fear involves torment. But God does not want us to walk in torment. In fact, he says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And then the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And then we think about such things that are perfect, noble, praiseworthy, excellent. So he tells us to train our minds to think on the things of God. But perfect love drives out torment. It drives out the thoughts of anxiety. It drives out the thoughts of doubt. It drives out the thoughts of anything that would come against us. When we understand what the truth is, it's the truth that sets us free. And when we get a hold of the truth, then there's nothing that can cause us to shake. So getting the truth of God, not man's opinions, not the lies of the enemy, not what the world hands out, but the truth of God. When we understand his truth and we stand on his truth, then we are set free, and we are free indeed. So it goes on and it says that fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we understand that if we have fear of something, then love has not yet been perfected in us. Understanding his love. See, it's a cycle. Let me go ahead and finish, because it kind of reiterates that. We love him because he first loved us. There's this cycle of his love, and we receive his love. When we get saved, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're receiving his gift, his love. We're receiving what he did for us. And we're receiving, that doesn't mean that we understand it in its fullness. It just means that we're receiving what he did for us on the cross. But then from that point, what do? We begin to walk in a love for him. It says, if you love me, you'll do what? Obey my commandments. You'll obey my word. And so if we love him, then we're going to walk in his way. We're going to obey his commands, obey his word. So if we're receiving his love and then we're loving him back in return, there's a cycle of understanding that my purpose, my identity, my mission is not dependent upon any person. It's dependent upon him. Every source that I need is dependent upon him, not any person. Everything I am is dependent upon him, not man. And so when I'm receiving his love and what he has for me, then I'm receiving his purpose, his mission, his identity, his resources. Everything is found in his word. And when I'm receiving his word and receiving his love, then I'm automatically walking in his truth. And I obey his commandments, and then there's this cycle that I'm not allowing the opinions of man. I'm not allowing the things of the world to shake me. I find a foundation in him. My foundation is in him. So I want to get into that for a second with the whole idea of, because this is one of the things that man deals with is the fear of people, intimidation of people, the fear of man's opinions. So in general, we could just call it man. That people have a fear of man. Now, I'm not saying, you walk out your door one day and you say, oh, there's a man, and you take off running. That's not what I'm meaning. I'm just meaning the opinions, what people think, that there's a desire many times to have and find approval in people and instead of in God. But let's turn over to Galatians and see what Paul has to say about that. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, because Paul had found out from the church of Galatia that they were getting a little sidetracked on some teachings that were off. Some people had come and tried to teach them some things that Paul did not he had not taught them. And he said, if you're believing something else other than what I came to you and taught you in Christ, then you've gotten off track. And so he was correcting them in what they had been taught. And so when he writes this in verse 10, he's saying to them, I'm not looking for the approval of those men or anyone else. I'm not looking for you to like me. I'm not looking for your approval to like me or to say yes to everything and be a yes man. But he says, I'm looking to give you the truth and to give correction. And he says in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So it shows here that if we are after the approval of men, then we're not going to be able to please Christ. Because the only way we can be a bondservant for Christ, a servant for God, is if we're looking to please him, please God, not man. Man is very fickle. Man, one moment can approve of you, and the next moment they'll turn their back. Man can say yes one minute and then say no. Man can in one moment be happy and the next moment be upset. Man is very fickle. In fact, Jesus even said that it says that in the book of John that he entrusted himself to no man because he knew men. Meaning he knew men are superficial, they're surface, they're fickle, they change like the tides, they change like the waves, they're back and forth. One minute they're with you, the next minute they're not. And I'm sure every person in here has dealt with situations before where they've had someone turn their back on them, or they felt rejected. They felt like, man, my best friend just, you know, I thought they were my friend, and then they said this or they did that. And you're standing there like, this is someone that I trusted. Man is fickle. But we cannot base our opinions and our faith upon man. Our truth has to be found in God, in God's opinion about us, in his, what he says about us. That's why our identity, our foundation has to come from what he says. Because the enemy tries to come in and get you to question your identity. It happened from the very beginning of the Word of God, did it not? From the very beginning in Genesis, God is trying to get Eve Satan is trying to get Eve to take the bite of the fruit. And he's like, did God really say? You know, I think he's holding something back. You don't have everything. God's holding wisdom back from you. This will make you wise. This will make you better. He's holding things back from you. God wasn't holding anything back from them. He wanted them to walk in freedom. And he knew that if they walked in sin, then there would be death and destruction, not freedom. So the very things that sometimes people want is the very thing that will lead them into destruction. But we think, oh, God's trying to restrain me. No, he's actually trying to get you to live in freedom by giving you truth. But if we're worried about man's opinions, and then, you know, what did Eve do? She began to question. Well, maybe God is doing this. Maybe he is a river, because they're drawing their source from the Word of God, the river of God. Their roots are not shallow. Their roots go deep. They're not easily overturned. They're established. So what? They're not 1 minute over here and the next minute over there. They're not 1 minute saying, okay, everything's great, and the next minute they're saying, oh, we're all going to die. They're established on the Word of God. I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to have a fear of the voice of the enemy. You don't have to have a fear of people. You don't have to have a fear of being intimidated by others. God takes the least and raises them up. Why? It even talks about in Romans how man has dependent upon his own knowledge. That's why he takes the base things of the world and brings them up, and he'll bring glory to that, because he knows that a person that's dependent upon him and not other things of the world and not their own knowledge, he can use that. If they're dependent upon him, that's why if somebody's got too much knowledge or too much self-righteousness, then God has a hard time using them, because everything in them is dependent upon themselves and their own knowledge and what they've built, their own works. But if you're dependent upon the things of God, and you're dependent upon his Word, and you're dependent upon his Holy Spirit, then he's like the Holy Spirit, it's like the wind. He can blow through. You won't see the wind, but you can tell it's been there. You can see the effect. The Holy Spirit is just like that. You can't see him, but you can see the effect that he has on a person. You can see the fruit out of their life. See, God's not just looking for manifestations that just touch in a moment and then there's no fruit later. God's looking. Because, I mean, we all love those services, right? Man, God was here. There were people laid out. God's presence came, healed this person, touched that person, changed that person's life. This person got a calling. That person, they were on fire for God. But what if 2 days from now they go right back to their old junk? God's looking for manifestations that cause fruit. God's looking for manifestations that 5 years from now, there's growth and there's fruit and there's been an impact. God's heart is to see you impacted for his kingdom. But we can't do that if we're basing our lives upon fear of what man says. That means everything's got to be grounded in him. His voice. God, what do you say about me? Because this person just said this, this, and this, and now it's getting in my head. So what do I do? What do I do with that? This happens to everybody. So I know I'm talking to people here. Because not any one person is exempt from dealing with things that can jump in their mind about what someone has said or what someone thinks. We'll never fulfill our calling if we're always worried and fearful of what someone says, what someone thinks. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus walk around trying to convince everybody that he was the Son of God? No, really, I am. I am the Son. If you Pharisees could only get this, sit down. I need to show you in Scripture. In Isaiah, it says this right here. And in Ezekiel, it says this. That was talking about me. Was he doing that? No. He never wasted his time arguing with the ones that weren't going to believe. He never wasted his time trying to sit down and convince someone that I'm the Son of God. And you don't have to either. God doesn't ask us to defend ourselves. Our mission is to glorify God. And that's what Jesus did. He came and he glorified the Father. Everything that he said his Father did and said, that's what he did. That's what he said. Everything pointed back to God. He let those works speak for themselves. He said, okay, you don't believe me? Then look at the works that I do. That's how we should be. Look at the fruit that's coming out of my life. Let that speak for itself. So many times people end up out of the race because they're worried about what people are saying or thinking. They're worried about what someone has said. They're worried about someone accusing them. They're worried about an accusation. See, if the enemy can't get you to live a life of sin, you know what he does? He accuses you. Accusations that are not true. He'll get people to talk about you. Why is he doing that? To pull your distraction off of God, to get you over here. No, that's not really true about me. If I could just get you to understand that my heart is really pure in this. If you could only understand. And we get distracted off of the mission. And over here fighting with the enemy. Over here fighting with people. Over here just trying to convince them. But God says, don't let any of those things distract you. Lay aside everything that would hold you back, that would entangle you, and run the race. Run the race. Keep your eyes focused on me. That's why he says that if you will set your mind, set your eyes on the things above and not the things of this earth. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above and not the things of this earth. See, that's really what our goal is, to have a God conscience. That we're always thinking about God's power. Because the enemy will come in with that too. Well, you're not powerful enough, you're only human. Daniel went and faced a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace. Joseph was thrown in prison. Time and time again, people throughout the Word of God. Paul had a viper hanging off of his arm. Time and time again, people were delivered by the hand and the power of God. It was not their power. It was God's power. But they set their mind on the things of heaven. They set their mind on the power of God. They set their mind and their heart on the love that God had for them. That's why I say if we understand God's love and we receive his love, and we understand what a great father we have, then we're not going to doubt his love for us. We're not going to doubt that he wants to save us, that he wants to deliver us. We were at a meeting a few weeks ago, and it was Dr. Paul Eneche from Nigeria, and he was speaking. He was talking about his assistant's sister, who also goes to his church. But this sister had been kidnapped in Nigeria, abducted, taken to a jungle. So as far as the natural state is concerned, she's done. She's in the middle of this jungle. She has no answer. She has no way to fight for herself. Men bigger than her, stronger than her, have weapons. She sits down, and she puts her head between her knees, and she just begins to meditate on the things of God, and she begins to sing a song. That you're always there to help me. Even when no one else is there to help me. She sings this song. It's a song that Dr. Paul Eneche actually wrote. And they sing it in their church. And she sings this song. Even when no one's there to help me, you're always there to help me. Even when I cannot see you, even when I cannot trace you, you are always there for me. And she's singing this out. Even when I cannot see you, even when I cannot trace you, you are always there to help me. And she's singing this, and she's singing it. And what's she doing? She's focusing on the power of God. She's focusing on the love of God. She's focusing on the fact that her God is more than able to deliver her. She's not going, oh, what am I going to do? My life is done. I'm dead. There's no way out of this. And she's not running around frantically doing that. She's focusing on and meditating on the greatness of her God and the delivering hand of God. She raises her head, and she's no longer in the jungle, and she's been transported, and she's setting along a highway. Amen. God will transport you if he has to. That's biblical. Philip was transported. I think Dr. Paul Eneche called it transpirited. Transpirited. The Bible says you are hidden in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. In fact, I think it says it right before the set your mind. Let's go there. Let's go there so you can underline it. Colossians 3. Get your highlighter out. Get your pen out. Mark some stuff up this morning in the Word of God. Colossians 3. Let's start at verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, even when Peter was shackled in prison, he was waiting to stand trial the next day. They were there to have his head. They'd already taken James and beheaded him. But the church prayed for Peter. They figured something out in between the beheading of James and the imprisonment of Peter. There's a revelation. Let's pray. And so the church began to pray. And Peter, it says he was asleep. Keep your mind focused on him. And that's with everything concerning any type of fear. If you keep your heart and your mind in God and keep it focused on him, a God consciousness, what God can do for me, what God will deliver me from, what God will give to me. And if you keep your mind focused on that, then you're not going to swing over into a place of fear. You're not gonna be thinking and coming into anxiety. You have to purpose your mind. I am gonna think about Christ and all of his goodness. I'm gonna think about God my Father and all of the blessings. I'm gonna think about the Holy Spirit and everything that he has given me. Everything that's available for me. Keep my mind on the things of God. Keep them set on the things of heaven. Keep them set upon the things of God, the power of God, the love of God. Praise God. Minister, can you come to the keyboard? Sometimes we have to let the Holy Spirit do a work in others. You have to trust God that he's going to do a work in other people's lives. If they've come against you, if they've turned their back, if they're accusing you, if they're saying things that aren't true, your source has to be God in prayer. That's when you take it to the Lord. Father, I can't change someone's heart. One of the best pieces of advice that we got before entering into the mission field: let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. That means don't you try to go and as bad as you want it for some people, you want to get in there and do a work in them. You have to let God do a work. You pray, you take it to God time and time. You could bang your head on a wall trying to get them to see something that really it can be truth. How do I get them to see this? If they could only see this, how do I get them to see this about me? Don't concern yourself with it. Take it to God. You take it to God, let him deal with it, and then you be free. It's one of the greatest revelations that you can get, because it frees you from getting distracted on things that you shouldn't have to be worrying about. It takes you off of the purposes and the plans of God for your life. You set your hand to the plow. You do the things that God has told you to do. Don't you worry about if they think this, this, or this. As long as you are pleasing God, you let everything else fall into God's hands. Let the Holy Spirit do his work in someone's life. And you be about the Father's business. If you can get that, it will free you up of a lot of things. If I carried everything that came my way, and every thought, and I'm sure some of you have probably dealt with it. Yeah, but isn't a Christian supposed to do this? Isn't a Christian supposed to do that? You're not called to the whole world. No one can be the savior for the whole world except Jesus alone. People have to find their trust in Jesus, not in you. You cannot be every person's savior, and you cannot solve all their problems. At some point, people have got to turn to God and find their answer in him. You've got to point people to the master. And I'll even dare to say this. Some people, need to quit getting their fulfillment from feeling needed all the time. Your fulfillment is in Christ, not in people needing you. Does that make sense? Because some people run around to every fire because they feel this feeling of fulfillment, that I was used here and I saved this and I did this for them and I was their answer to that and I helped here. And they're so busy running around trying to be everybody's answer because it's filling a void in their life. But that needs to be filled with Christ. Everything in our life, Christ is the answer for. Christ is the answer. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. There are some situations that some people have been facing. If you would only focus on God being your answer, stopping and meditating upon him and what he can do instead of running around trying to make everything work for that. Because you don't have the answer. And God's wanting you to depend upon him and to learn to walk in faith. Because really, that's what faith is. It's taking it to God. And building a partnership with him. This is, God, I'm trusting in you. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to take this on. I don't know how to talk to this person. I don't know how to fix this problem, this relationship. But God, you do. So I'm going to leave it in your hands. And I'm going to continue to do what you're calling me to do, which is have peace and have joy and praise him and be with him. Man, that sounds way too simple. Sometimes the Lord is just wanting you to have the relationship with him and trust him. Let him deal with the other stuff. You just trust in him. Just trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Close our eyes. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. just want to say a prayer over every person in this place. Father, I pray today, that there would be such a freedom in the hearts, that freedom would reign in the hearts of your children, that peace would reign in their hearts, that they would pick nothing up that was not ordained for them to pick up. Anything they've been carrying, any burden, even burdens that they picked up themselves years ago that maybe you're speaking to them now, it needs to be laid down. It needs to be laid at the feet of Jesus, not to be picked back up. Even obligations that man has put on people, that they're not supposed to be there. God didn't put some of those obligations on you. They've been there because you assumed them. You assumed that this person expected it, that person expected it, and therefore that obligation has been there. And if I don't fulfill this, this, and this, but the thing is, some of those things have been placed there as a heavy burden to load you down. The enemy has tried to sap your strength, to sap your joy. And God says today, lay it down. Cast it off. Throw it down. I've got it. And leave it lay. That may not be for everybody this morning, but for those that it's for, receive it.